relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
If you thought 2016 was important, 2020 is going to be the greatest, most significant election of your lifetime. As a result, we've created a unique additional podcast with our regular guest in studio, former special assistant to President Trump, Boris Epstein. It's called The Battle for 1600. Join us today by subscribing to the podcast for free. Just look for my name, Boris Epstein, and The Battle for 1600.
Our fathers brought forth upon this continent a new nation, conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death.
The world will little note or long remember what we say here, but it can never forget what they did here.
I have a dream today.
Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
I can hear you, the rest of the world hears you, and the people who knocked these buildings down will hear all of us soon.
And we will make America great again.
This is America First. With Sebastian Gorka.
This is America First with me, Sebastian Gorka, and I'm very excited to introduce our guest host for today, Trish Regan.
Hey, it's great to be here, everyone. So good to be in for my friend Seb again. I love seeing you on Fridays. I'm here every Friday to talk about how we preserve our freedom in an increasingly challenged world. For me, that's freedom of speech. It's freedom to prosper. It's freedom to protect ourselves. These are the issues really and truly that matter most. And increasingly, some of this is in doubt. You know, there's a new report that I want to share with you that came out allegedly out of our House Intel. I shouldn't say allegedly. They're citing people within the administration talking about how there has been an attack effectively on our Federal Energy Regulatory Commission. And I'm really concerned by this. I'm really concerned by this because let's keep in mind, and I've reported on this in the past on American Consequences in their magazine. I've reported on it right here on this show with Seb. My concern is about our power grid. My concern is what are our enemies trying to do to our power grid? Because let's be very clear, we are vulnerable here. According to Politico, the Energy Department and National Nuclear Security Administration, which maintains, by the way, U.S. nuclear weapons, our stockpile there. They have evidence that hackers access their networks as part of an extensive espionage operation, quote, that has affected at least half a dozen federal agencies. This is, again, according to officials familiar with the matter. Well, this is a big concern because Politico also writes that the attack on the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission may have been an effort to disrupt the nation's bulk electric grid. FERC doesn't directly manage any power flows, but it does store sensitive data on the grid that could be used to identify the most disruptive locations for future attacks. Whoa. Okay, this is not good. And you know why I know this is not good? Because we actually had something that came out in 2016. There was an update just over this summer. No one, I mean, other than me and maybe Seb, were talking about this because the rest of the mainstream media was so, you know, transfixed by going after Donald Trump, that they actually have a tendency to ignore real news. I mean, this is real news. So 4 years ago, Congress put together an EMP Commission, Electromagnetic Pulse Commission, and they issued a report in 2016. And they issued let me just preface you that this is not good. And in fact, when I reported on this, it really shook me up a bit, because you feel like this is something you really can't do anything about, and it's so utterly awful and pessimistic. But this report said, quote, an EMP attack could shut down the U.S. electric power grid for an infinite period, leading to the death within a year of up to 90% of all Americans due to looting, a lack of food and water, and desperation attacks. That's a direct quote from the EMP Commission report. And to me, this is really scary stuff. I mean, as much as we worry about, you know, what Donald Trump is doing, or rather not me, but the mainstream media, they ought to be worried about stuff like this. So, again, scary, scary stuff. The president, to his credit, put in place the very first presidential commission to look at this issue, because he recognized that this was and is a threat. And according to the fellow who is the head of the commission, who actually was on the commission as well for Congress in 2016, he said, and I quote, everything, this is what an EMP attack would mean. Everything is in blackout. Nothing works. The EMP sparks widespread fires, explosions, and all kinds of industrial accidents. Firestorms rage in cities and forests. Toxic clouds pollute the air, and chemical spills poison already polluted lakes and rivers. In 7 days, the over 100 nuclear power reactors run out of emergency power, go to Fukushima, spreading radioactive plumes over the most populous half of the United States. There is not even any drinking water in the national food supply and regional warehouse. Houses begins to spoil in 3 days. There was enough food. There was only enough food, he says, to feed 320 million people for 30 days anyway. Yikes. I mean, like, seriously, yikes. Now, let me back up. An EMP is a short burst of electromagnetic energy. The reason we're talking about this is because it seems our Federal Energy Regulatory Commission was hacked into, and it's believed that whoever was hacking in was trying to basically find out information about our most sensitive, most critical data on the grid so that they could perhaps disrupt it in the future. This is problematic. Just to give you again a sense of how this all works, I mean, there's natural EMPs and there are electromagnetic energy man-made EMPs. And a man-made EMP would destroy our country's grid almost instantaneously. I mean, we would have no way to get any gas, any money, no computers, no phones, no lights, nothing. In fact, I had a little experience with this myself in my little New England town that I was living in over the summer. We had a bit of a storm come through, and the entire town, like 98% of the town, was without any kind of electricity. And so this is one of the reasons I started investigating all this and started looking into it, because I thought, okay, 98% of my little town, what if this happened to 98% of the country? What would that mean? And it would mean really bad stuff. I mean, imagine if you couldn't get access to your computer. You can't get access to your bank account, right? You can't go to the ATM and take out money. You can't go to the grocery store. At the time, they had to dump all the food out of the freezers because it was going bad. There were no lights on in the grocery stores. I mean, this is scary stuff. And if somebody really did want to expose our vulnerabilities, they'd be looking into this. Anyway, one of the concerns has always been China, right? Perhaps using Iran and North Korea. If they ever wanted to really hurt us, this would be something that they could do. And in fact, Dr. Peter Pry, the head of that presidential EMP commission, says that they are very actively looking into this. So right now, a lot of signs, according to some people briefed on what happened with the hackers, some signs point to Russia. The president really isn't saying much. And Mitt Romney's furious, saying, you got to come out and really condemn this. But it could be possible, just in the interest of giving him the benefit of the doubt, which no one does, right? Certainly not Mitt Romney, certainly not any of the Democrats. But don't forget, he is the one who has a presidential commission on this stuff, the very first one. Nobody else had this. So he's got real experts that can give him real insight into what might really be going on. So I would say we should all hold our criticism for a little bit and wait until we know more information before we start pointing the finger. Sure, it could be the Russians or it could be the Chinese trying to make it look like the Russians, right? Peter Navarro is coming up on the show. Let me tell you something about Peter Navarro. And he's been the guy that has been really the architect of our China strategy alongside the president there in the White House. Peter Navarro has been very wary of China for, 20 years? As long as I've known Peter Navarro. I mean, there were times when I used to think, is he really that worried? What is there to be that worried about? You know, because I think, oh, if everybody's making money, everybody will feel bad. Oh, you know what? Peter was completely, totally right. And Peter recognized decades before others the threat that China really could be to our economy and therefore our national security. Getting into, again, this report, one of the things that Dr. Peter Pry cites is how China has always wanted to be able to exploit this vulnerability and be able to use an EMP attack offensively if they had to. In fact, Shen Wayang's World War, the World War, Third World War, Total Information Warfare from the People's Liberation Army, is effectively sort of a quasi-textbook on information warfare. And this is one of the things they talk about being able to launch an EMP attack against the United States. So all I'm saying is we don't know what's going on. Maybe it was Russia. Maybe it was Iran. Maybe it was China. Maybe it was North Korea. But we better figure out what's going on, because this is the news that matters. Peter Navarro is coming up next. We've got Steve Moore. We've got a terrific show for you. James Carafano. Don't go anywhere. It is Trish Regan from TrishIntel.com, and I am in for Seb today. I'll be right back.
I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First. Let's get back to the show with Trish Regan.
Welcome back, everyone. It's good to be in for my good friend Seb today on this Friday before the wonderful Christmas holidays coming up. I hope you have some great plans. I certainly do. But, you know, as much as we're all looking forward to Christmas, a lot of people are really upset right now. They're really upset because they do not understand how you could have had such a record number of people come out to vote, as we saw, and not see Donald Trump succeed. There's a lot of frustration, a lot of fear, because don't forget what Hillary Clinton said. Don't forget what she said over the summer, right? She said, if it is close, she would advise Joe Biden to not concede no matter what. So there's some irony, shall we say, in the left being absolutely furious that this president will not concede. But again, there were some close calls in some states, and some believe that there were some problems there. The Electoral College, of course, I will remind everyone, has said that Joe Biden is our president-elect. But Peter Navarro has been doing some research, and he believes that is misguided. And he joins us right now with his report that he has been basically outlining on why there may have been some real problems with this election. I want to go to him now, joining by phone. Peter Navarro, very good to have you here, sir.
Trisha, so good to hear your voice. We've missed you. You are missed.
Oh, you are very kind to say that. Well, I'm delighted to talk with you today. I want to, you know, I was just telling the listeners before we came on air with you, before we went to commercial, that you got it. Back when I thought, you know, Peter Navarro, I'm not sure, because I've known you. I've known you a long time. I know that I've known you before my 11-year-old twin daughters were born. So we go way back. And I'm thinking, as long as I've known you, Peter, you have always been consistent in your concerns about China. That, you know, there was a time when some people thought, well, you know, Peter, maybe, you know, he's blown this out of proportion. But you know what? You weren't. And you were spot on. Which is why you are someone I always think people should listen to and hear from, and I want the listeners to hear from you now. So what is it that you're concluding based on the data you've seen?
Let me set the stage here. Just let your listeners know. I mean, I'm a Harvard-trained economist. I published in Law Journal, so I have the chops, as it were, to review, as I did, thousands of pages of documents, affidavits, declarations, court cases, testimony, and the like. And what I was trying to do, Trish, in the wake of this startling reversal of Trump fortune on election night, was figure out exactly what happened in all its granularity and complexity. And so the big takeaway from the report that I published, that I urge everybody to read, is simply this, that the Democratic Party had a coordinated strategy across these six battleground states, Arizona, Georgia, Michigan, Nevada, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin, a coordinated strategy to effectively stuff the ballot box with often illegal mail-in and absentee ballots. And they did that not with any silver bullet, but rather this was death by a thousand cuts, or more precisely, death by these six dimensions of election irregularities that I identify. And these dimensions range from the outright fraud, as you would imagine, but also ballot mishandling, process fouls, equal protection violations, voting machine irregularities, and some surprising statistical anomalies. And there's a great matrix in the report. It's like one picture is worth a thousand elections stolen. It shows basically that across the six battleground states where the margins of victory for Biden were razor thin, you observe most or all of these dimensions of irregularities in all six battleground states, and punchline, the number of questionable votes, possibly illegal votes, dwarfs the victory margin that Biden currently holds. So the message to the American people is simply that we're living in a country now which has been built, I think rightly up to this point, as the greatest democracy in world history. And we are approaching an inauguration day where we may well inaugurate an illegal and illegitimate president, and the world and a good segment of the American people will have lost faith in the greatest democracy in history to run a free and fair election. So this, in my judgment, we will look back at this time in history and see this as a great crisis of this republic unless we change course and really get to the bottom of what I call the immaculate deception.
Well, you know, look, I'm all for getting to the bottom of anything. I mean, let's be very clear. What we went through in 2016 when Donald Trump won was this hysteria and outrage and disbelief right from the left, where they said, oh, it couldn't possibly have been him. It was actually him conspiring with the Russians. His campaign conspired with the Russians to steal the election. And that was said multiple times. Nobody said, oh, that's a conspiracy theory that, you know, you can't talk about. You know, to be honest, like, you've gotten a lot of negative press for this. And people have said, look, you know, Peter Navarro, these theories have already been debunked. You know, he's doing this, which is a violation of the Hatch Act because, you know, he's engaging in politics. You've made the point, sir, that you're doing this as a private citizen. But let me ask you about when everybody says, OK, this has been debunked. What is the evidence that you have that suggests that they're wrong?
Well, that's a great question. And what I have are thousands, literally thousands of affidavits and declarations and pages of court cases, photos, videos, public testimony, public firsthand accounts. I think you can probably count on one hand the number of people in the media who have bothered to do the kind of research that I do. But as I said at the top of this discussion, that's my bread and butter. I mean, that's what I've done for a living 25 years.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Right. And so the idea that you can dismiss these allegations on the grounds that there's, quote, no evidence, unquote, is just absurd. That's spin. And I think what's going on here, you know, the only thing I think that's worse than the theft itself of this election, Trish, mm-hmm. is the cover up. And what we have is a media which basically it's an ends justifies the means. Don't do the kind of investigation that should be done, and spin everything in a way to discredit. And, you know, it's like with the Hunter Biden mm-hmm. laptop from hell. Before right. the election, it was like nothing there. Now we got it indicted.
Hey, listen, Peter, don't go anywhere. If you would be kind enough to stay with me, we have to take a quick commercial break. But I have more questions for you, including we're going to get to China, which is your wheelhouse. So don't go anywhere. Peter Navarro is going to stay with us. We've got more here on Seb Gorka's show. I am Trish Regan, trishintel.com. I'll see you right back here after this.
The Tunnel to Towers Foundation is marking its season of hope, and they need your help. The foundation is honoring America's heroes by donating 36 homes in 36 days. That's one home a day from Thanksgiving through New Year's Eve. Tunnel to Towers is gifting homes in more than two dozen states across our nation. They're bringing hope to great Americans, our catastrophically injured veterans, Gold Star, and fallen first responder families. The foundation is giving thanks to all of those who have sacrificed so much for us, and to the many people like you across this country who have supported their efforts to honor our nation's heroes. Join Tunnel to Towers on its mission to do good. Donate $11 a month by going to t2t.org. That's T, the number 2, T.org. T2T.org. Help bring hope to America's heroes and their families. Thank you.
On the side of the U.S. Constitution, America first.
Welcome back, everyone. I'm Trish Regan. In for Seb today, trishintel.com is the website you need to go to. Also, subscribe to my channel. Subscribe to my channel on YouTube. Subscribe to my podcast, Trish Intel. You can get it on Apple iTunes, on Spotify, on Pandora, on Amazon, anywhere you get your podcast. And thank you to every single one of you for making us one of the top 50 podcasts in America. So that's all thanks to you. I know you want to hear the truth, and it needs to be told right now. Somebody who's always told the truth on China, for example, as I was telling you, 15, 20 years ago, Peter Navarro was talking about the threat of China when nobody would take him perhaps as seriously as they should have. And Peter, he's on the line with us now. You sure were right. Back to this 35-page report that you have issued. Has the president commented to you on it at all?
I'm doing this as a private citizen. I've shared a copy of the report with him, and he'll read it when he reads it. Mm-hmm. But I do know that he is fired up about mm-hmm. what has happened. And, you know, some of the things that I think need to happen, Trish, mm-hmm. We need a special prosecutor to investigate this. There's a lot that we can get to before Inauguration Day to get to the bottom of this. And I think even that effort would reverse the results. But
well, I don't know. I mean, here's the problem for you, though, right? You're talking about you've got to reverse results in all of these swing states. And so, like, even if you got one state, like, say you got Georgia, because I think that there's an interesting case happening there in Georgia legally. Now, even if that was reversed, it still doesn't get you to the finish line.
That is correct. But let's be clear. If you look at the six dimensions of irregularities in my report, mm-hmm. And you can get confirmation of what happened in even three of those six states, you realize that President Trump won that election. And once you come to that realization, surely Congress and the judiciary and state legislatures will finally do what they should be doing. And, you know, one of the things that's so fascinating in this whole thing is you've got in five of the six states, Trish, you've got Republicans controlling both chambers mm-hmm. of the state legislature, yet they did not act. And I think one of the reasons is that there's a schism between President Trump's Republicanism for the working class mm-hmm. and kind of the traditional Republicans who love to send our jobs offshore.
Let me get to that for a second, because this has been your sort of baby, if you would, for as long as I've known you, that just your frustration with really both parties, because you've always said they're sort of out for the corporate class as opposed to out for the middle class and the everyday American. And, you know, you're highly instrumental in the trade policy for China. What is your concern going forward if Joe Biden's in the seat and his team is in there? And you don't have enough people in the Senate and in Congress on the Republican side to really hold them accountable, if you would. What is your fear as far as China goes?
What Biden has done so far is put in place a cabinet that looks like the Obama-Biden administration. So what I fear is the status quo ante of globalism, where the working class, particularly in the manufacturing sectors, are totally ignored by the swamp creatures here in Washington. And then we go back to a world where we have stagnant growth. And the biggest fear in that is that we've suffered perhaps permanent structural damage to our economy from the pandemic itself, the key sectors like tourism, hospitality, transportation, that if we are not nimble and quick with a president like Donald Trump who understands how to build an economy, we're not even going to hit anywhere near the growth rates Obama-Biden did, which was anemic, like 1%, 1.5%. We'll be tugging along at 0% or less, and it'll be a Hobbesian world. That's a great fear of mine at this
point. Yeah, it's a great fear of mine, too. And I remember, you know, those Obama years, Obama-Biden years, and there was really nothing that could be done to help sort of the everyday American. Yet the market took off, and I think we could see that again. I really do. The market will do okay because there'll be tons of stimulus. But at some point, you know, we're going to have to pay this back. At some point, we're making ourselves more vulnerable. Peter Navarro, it's so good to talk to you again. Peter Navarro, everyone, very, very smart economist. He's got real questions right now, and he's asking them. He's not afraid. Peter, thank you. We're going to be back with a whole lot more. Do make sure to subscribe to my YouTube channel. If you're watching on YouTube right now, Trish Regan, The Trish Regan Show, and I'm back with more from SEBS, America First, after this.
Portions of today's program are brought to you by Prison Fellowship.
Welcome back, everyone. I am Trish Regan in for Dr. Sebastian Gorka today. It's good to be with you. It's good to be with you. And I do hope you go and you download my podcast. Thank you to all of you. We are one of the top 50 in America, which is a big deal because there's like nearly 10 million podcasts out there right now. So that's all thanks to you. Much, much appreciated. You can get the podcast online on Apple iTunes or on Spotify, on Amazon, The Trish Intel Show. You can also go to my website, trishintel.com, and subscribe to my YouTube channel. You know, I'm so happy to have with us today one of the most brilliant conservative intellects on the planet, a gentleman by the name of Lord Conrad Black, well known within the media industry, created a media empire, and is just an all-around very smart man. I'm so glad to have him back on the show with me today. Lord Black, welcome.
Well, thank you, Trish, and I can't thank you enough for your embarrassingly gracious introduction, but the fact that it's embarrassing doesn't make it any less well.
Well, you are. You're a very brilliant scholar and thinker, and I love hearing your view of the world right now. You say you're pretty concerned about the state America's in terms of the election process and the absentee ballots. And I'm looking ahead to Georgia, right? And we're still going to be using absentee ballots. In fact, they've talked about 1 million requests already have gone out. So what's your fear here? Walk us through it.
Well, in the case of Georgia, I mean, I think that 1 million figure comes from Stacey Abrams. I put my faith in Karl Rove. He is, especially as you know, the financial chairman for the Republican senators in that runoff election. But I think, in effect, he's directing the campaign. And there is no fear in my mind that the Democrats will get away this time with what they did in the presidential election last month. And I imagine, I mean, this is just intuition, but the governor Kemp and the Secretary of State Raffensperger are seriously chastened by the absolute outrages they're associated with. But I see the latest polls show the Republican candidates a little bit ahead. Now, of course, we know not to trust the polls anyhow, but they look for real, and Trafalgar is one of them. But in the larger issue, I have to say, and it's an unpleasant thing to say it, but I think it's terribly worrisome and really seriously upsetting that this is a tainted election. I mean, Biden may have won, but it doesn't look to me like he did. And the degree, the fact that everything went off very smoothly in 44 states, but in 6 particular targeted states, there were a series of very dubious practices that caused in middle of the night drops of unrepresentatively lopsided blocks of votes. A good lead that the president had on election night, it really overturned it practically, or more than overturned it in some cases, overnight in questionable circumstances. And that worry, I mean, if the United States is in fact not conducting valid presidential elections, the implications of this to the legitimacy of American democracy are extremely serious.
Well, and that's why you're not supposed to talk about it, right? I mean, they're like, whoa, us talking about it is problematic.
Chris, I'm sorry, but it's compounded by the complete failure of the court system to deal with it. Now, part of that is at the doorstep of the president's counsel. They launched a lot of lawsuits that they didn't have adequate evidence of and that demanded remedies that were out of all proportion to what they were alleging anyway. And it was really a bit of a hack job. I hate to say that about Rudy Giuliani and Sidney Powell, and I know them both and I admire them both, but their credibility was shaken by the manner in which they pursued the election. But the fact that the Supreme Court would not hear a request from 18 states backed by substantial evidence that something other than a fair judgment had been rendered in the election is very depressing to me. That you can't abdicate. The Supreme Court transform the judicial branch into something less than a co-equal branch temporarily. And those two facts, a possibly fraudulent election and an abdication by the Supreme Court, to me are extremely worrisome.
You mentioned that. So not the AG from Texas's case, not Ken Paxton, but the earlier one. Is that what you're talking about?
The Texas original, the original jurisdiction case, suing the 4 other states and supported.
Okay, that's the one that that's what
17
you
other states.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the concern, though, I mean, and again, I go back to some of my conservative fundamentals, and so I wrestle with this. My concern, and I'm curious to hear your thoughts on this, Lord Black, is that if they had somehow decided that the federal government was in charge of each of these states, then the states are no longer in charge of their own election systems. And so that gets us into the weeds, right, as to, you know, the federalist system that we're set up to be.
Yeah, I didn't see that as the issue, Trish. I mean, look, if Texas had been suing because of the way Georgia was running its education department or its pension system or something, that would be completely not receivable. It's none of their business. But the selection of the president is a matter of legitimate interest to everyone in the country. Mm-hmm. And the original jurisdiction is a contest between the states. And you know, I didn't see it in the terms.
No, I mean, I'm just playing devil's advocate because I also am a big believer in states, you know, running their own systems and states having jurisdiction over their own laws.
Mm-hmm. And all the Supreme Court has the authority to do is require that they be a fair election. How they run them is up to the legislatures of the state. So I don't think it would be a breach of constitutional jurisdiction for the Supreme Court if they had reason to believe, or at least grounds to look into, which was what was being asked, the authenticity of those elections.
Well, we've got a real mess now.
If you steal a presidential election and no court can do anything about it, what kind of a democracy?
I hear you. Conrad Black, Lord Black, so good to have you here today. As always, bring the interesting points. This is not good. Not good, not good. I encourage you to call in. I am Trish Regan. I'm here for Dr. G today. We've got a lot more on the way.
I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First. Let's get back to the show with Trish Regan.
Welcome back, everyone. Oh, I'm looking forward to Christmas. Are you looking forward to Christmas? I've been like really into decorating and stuff this year. I don't know. I mean, maybe because of the lockdowns, like we're all at home, we're spending more time at home. So you want to really get into it in big ways. And I remember loving Christmas as a kid. You know, as a mom myself, I know that there's a few things that are pretty pretty special, right, about Christmas morning, seeing the joy in the kids' faces as they open their gifts. This is wonderful stuff that these little kids will have in their memories forever, and you know as a mother or father that you're part of that for them. But when a parent is in prison, it's very challenging, right? And that's where Prison Fellowship Angel Tree, that's where they come in. This is something that I know is very special to Seb. And it's special to me because anything you can do to really help a child, right? It's not the kid's fault that their parent is incarcerated, but anything that you can do to help a child, a prisoner's child, to actually receive a gift from their parent, a personalized note from mom or dad, access to a Bible in either English or Spanish, that's pretty special. You know, last year the Angel Tree program blessed over 300 children and prisoners all over America. And here are just two of them, Alana and Quentin, telling us what they loved most about being part of an Angel Tree Christmas.
Spending time with my family and knowing that my dad cares. He's sending me all these gifts thanks to you. And I really like to thank you for it.
I like the presents that my dad sent me. I know that you guys care and he cares. So I just want to thank you for that. And I love Christmas. Thank you, Angel Tree, for doing all that you do. Because you don't have to do this, but you choose to do it. And I really appreciate it.
Oh, it's so great. Well, now's your turn to share the love of Christ through a donation to Seb Gorka's Angel Tree campaign. Go to sebgorka.com, click on the Angel Tree banner, phone your donation, if you would, by special number here. I'm going to give it to you, 1-888-206-2794. That's 888-206-2794. And for just a gift of $220, you know, you can bless 10 children, 10 children of prisoners with personalized Christmas presents, a personal note from their incarcerated parent. Plus, every Angel Tree family is given access to a free, easy-to-read copy of the Bible in English or Spanish. So again, please go to sebgorka.com, click on the Angel Tree banner, and thank you from me and from Dr. Gorka. Thank you for helping these kids. It's such an important thing to do. It's such an important time of year. This is a very important moment in our history, everyone. I can't stress that enough. And so I love that you're here. I love that you're watching Seb on YouTube right now. I encourage you to go to my YouTube channel as well. Subscribe. Subscribe. It's the only way we can stay in direct contact. Subscribe to my podcast. And thank you for making it one of the top 50 in America out of millions and millions. It's because I know you want the truth. You deserve the truth. We all deserve it. It's hard to find right now. Go to TrishaIntel.com, sign up, and I'm right back after this.